It is 6 o'clock on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Baruch Hashem, it's a schus to be learning Torah together as the sun is beginning to come up. Baruch Hashem, what a schus it is to start our day with a holy daf of Gemara. Daf Sota, Daf Chaf Beis. We are on Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, but midway down, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rotzi Isha V'chulu. We're continuing our Mishnah, fascinating Agada kind of discussions. One of the lines here is that a woman would prefer a kav vitiflos. A kav is an amount of money, so to say. Vitiflos, which is intimacy, attention, communication, emo, mitisha kav. Sorry, right, yeah, okay. So, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, rotze isha b'chulu. So, Maika Amar, what does he mean to say? Hachik Amar, rotze isha b'kav vitiflos, as I began to say, emo, that a woman would prefer to have less money and more time with her husband. More intimate time with her husband, mitisha kaven uprishos, from nine kaven, mitishas kaven uprishos, from nine kaven uprishos, and kind of like I'm like abstinence from her husband, which is just seemingly a general psychology point, is that sometimes men are nowhere to be found, and they're always away, and their rationalization for always being away is that because they want to become wealthy for their families. They want to buy their wives some nice jewelry and go on vacations and stuff and for their kids. But the Gemara here is showing us that a woman would prefer to have her husband more around than just never around, but just a larger bank account. Okay.
It wasn't true with Rabbi Akiva, though.
But that wasn't a chase after wealth.
Right.
That wasn't a wealth or not wealth. That was a Torah study, which is not the point of this Gemara here. Very good point, though. Huhaya Omer. Chosid Shota V'chulu. We then gave a whole list of people that destroyed the world, right? People that destroyed the world. One of them was a Chosid Shota, literally a foolish Chosid. And a Chosid, by the way, is not just somebody that has long payas and a strimal, as we like to call a Chosid today, but the Mesillas Yesharim describes a Chosid, which is somebody who's a real Chosid. Hechi Dami Chosid Shota. What is this Chosid Shota? The Gemara gives an answer and Tosfos gives an answer. We go into Katova Itza Benara. A woman's drowning at sea. Vamar lava or harlis da kule bovatsula. Oh, you know, a person's walking on the beach, and he sees a woman drowning. He says, "Oh, I can't look at the woman. Oh no, I can't go touch her. I can't go take her out of the water. No, that's not snias. That's a chassid shota." Tosus has a little bit of a different answer, and he says a few lines down from where we are. In the Yerushalmi, Ratinok mebabea benar. Similarly, if a child is drowning at sea, Amar lechasha echot tefillin atzilenu. Right, let me take off my tefillin. I'll wrap them up. I'll go jump in. I'll go save him. Akshu cholitz tefillin. But once he takes off his tefillin, hotzi azes nafsho. The child dies. Person's dying. Person's in trouble. We gotta go help that person. It's pretty clear now. Some of the farshim bring down, I think it's the Ein Yaakov. It can't be that this person is the only one there to save him. It can't be that this person is the only one there to save him. Why? Because then it's like murder. Then he actually killed him. It's not just a chassid shota, a foolish shota. Foolish shota is a nice, cute term to give somebody that, okay, he's foolish. But here it must be more bigger than that. So says the farshim here is that it must be here there's a bunch of people around. There's a lot of people around. And he's one of the people who says, oh, there's other people, I got my tefillin on, I'm not going to go do this, it's a woman, I don't touch women. That's a chassid shota. It's a very famous term, not much time to delve into it now, but the word bystander apathy is a real term. It's real that sometimes when there's a lot of people around to do some things, nobody might actually get that thing done. If many people witness a robbery, sometimes there are studies that sometimes nobody might call the police because everybody thinks the other person will.
I just actually read this morning, or yesterday, as it was, that with Am Yisrael, that's not the case. It's with Goyim, that's the case. But with Am Yisrael, whenever someone's in trouble, we come together to try and help.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So let's not be a chassid shota.
Right.
So let's not be a chassid shota. Great. Excellent. Well, let's not say somebody else would do it. Perfect. Continues the Gemara here. What is the case of a hechidami rasha arum? What is this cunning Russia? We're going to have a number of opinions now bring us on top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. What is the opinion of what is a Russia Arum, a cunning Russia? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh hamatim dvarav ledayan. Somebody who tells his side slyly to the Dayan to the judge when he has a court case. Kodem shevel bal din chavero. You know, he shows up early. He's doing some small talk with the judge. You're familiar, right, Eliezer? Right, as a judge, you know. And he's like, "Oh, by the way, my husband this, my wife. I'm not giving my side of the story. I'm just getting to know you." You know, he's trying to get around the din and go over his side. Kodem shevel bal din chavero. Rabbi Avo Omer, a second opinion. Zahanosin diner laani lahashlam lo masayim zuz. This is the person who gives a small amount of money to the poor person to make sure that he has at least 200 zuz. Rashi, what does that mean? There's a case here. Rashi here. Umeata lo yitol leket. Yishlo krovim shi'lom. There's something called leket shichon peah. It's special produce from the field that is designated for an ani, a poor person. Now, any ani, any poor person can take it. This person, though, sees that he has relatives in town who are aniyim, and he wants them to take the leket shichon peah from his field. However, we know that any ani that has over 200 zuz cannot take it. So he sees this ani here on the street. This guy, you know, he has money in his bank account worth 199 zuz. He's like, "Oh, I'm such a tzaddik. Here you go, here's a shekel. Here's a zuz." Now the guy's got 200. He can't do it. He can't even go get a ton more money from the field, a ton more like it from the field. So again, it's like a cunning arum. He's not just like outward bad. "Oh, I can't touch women." You know, there's something too righteous about what he's doing. It's not a good thing. Ditznan mishi shlom asayim zuz. And we learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Peah. Whoever has 200 zuz, lo yitol leket shichon peah, umayster ani, as I explained. Hayolom asayim zuz chaser dinar, but if he has just a tiny bit less, filu elef nosen lo ka'achas. You can give him even 1,000, meaning once he's under the 200 threshold, he can get a huge chunk of money. Hariza yitol. He can take as much as he wants. But because this guy wants his relatives to get it, he's going to give him a little bit, just to kind of get him out of the way, to bring his relatives in. Not a good thing. Rabbi Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a third opinion to what is a Rasha Arum, Zahamesi Eitzalim Kor Benechasim Muatin. This is somebody who gives advice to somebody to sell his Nechasim Muatin. That's a very good question. I'm not sure if that's allowed. If he's allowed to do that. I'm not sure if somebody has 201 if they're allowed to. But you're right. That sounds like it'd be a pretty cunning thing to do too. Let's give 2 away.
Yeah.
Then I'll go take 1,000 from the field. Very good point. It'd be interesting to see if that's allowed.
Are you about to sell that 1,000 afterwards?
Then you become a businessman. You go sell it and then make that. And perhaps Hashem sets it up that way so a person can get back on his feet. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know. Anyways, so, but great discussions. What's his next case? He who gives advice to sell the nechasim muatin. Some background here. When a person passes away, generally the sons inherit and not the daughters. But in the ksuba, what happens if a person, there's a condition that if a person just has nechasim muatin, is very little to give away after he passes away, then the daughters are entitled to that amount, and the sons are not. Because we know that it's embarrassing for daughters to walk around and collect money, as it's easier or less embarrassing for the sons to do so. So when a person has just a few possessions left, the daughters will be entitled to those possessions. Now this case here in the Gemara is that the sons sold off the remaining few possessions, because there's a halacha that if they sell off the remaining few possessions, then what they sell stays theirs, even though it shouldn't really be theirs. So therefore, this case of a cunning Rasha is where he gives advice to the sons to go and sell these nechasim watin, keep the money, and then, you know, your sisters won't get anything. So again, this person, I heard somebody bring down, that it's this person doesn't gain anything by it. He's just giving advice to other people who are gaining, but he's not like, it's just a terrible thing to do. That these orphans that go ahead and sell the nechasim muatin, masha machru machru, their sales are valid sales, and their sisters will not get anything. Abaye Omar, zehamesi etzlim kor benechasin kor benchim ben Gamliel. This is a case where a person gives advice to sell the nechasim, the possessions, according to benchim ben Gamliel. The Tanya, what's that case? If somebody says nechasai loch, v'acharecha leploni, my possessions will be for you. Meaning this person is giving it over that this so-and-so will inherit him. But v'acharecha l'ploni, but after you pass away, it's not going to your kids, but this other random guy is going to get it, okay? So it's not just going to do the typical line passing down generation to generation, but after you pass away, buddy, it's going to that next guy. So then what happens? V'yarad harishon umachar v'acha. The first guy goes and then sells it, sells these possessions, then eats it. V'asheni mosi miad halakuchos divrei Rebbe. The first opinion, Rebbe says that if this person, goes ahead and sells it, three lines up on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, if this guy goes ahead and sells it, then Rebbe says that the second guy can go and take it from the purchasers. Rashbagum, but Rishon ben Gamliel says, Einol sheni elamasha shayer rishon. The second guy is only able to get what the first person has left. Which means what? Going back to that point that we said before, is that the advice that this person got was to sell it, to keep it, and then the second guy won't get anything. So again, it's that cunning, it's the cunning type of advice which totally circumvents real people here. Rav Yosef bar Chama Amar Rav Sheshes, Zaha Machriya Cherem Baruch Hosav. This person who convinces people to go after his ways. And as Rashi explains, Rov Asu Kamoni, Uchubit Rachai, go in my ways. Lonis Gamin Zeh Oharos Asmo Kachosad, look at how great I am. But really, in his trying to be great, or trying to display himself as being great, he's really having people go after him. And as Rashi says, Vein Tocho Kabaro, which is a powerful line, his inside is not like his outside. We should be the kind of people that the way we are perceived by others is the way we are inside. We're not leading this dichotomy, this duality of like, I look like a tzaddik on the outside, look at me, I'll go and do this. And then really, on the inside, we're totally not like that. Rabbi Zrika Amar of Huna, Zahameko Atmo. Again, these are about 6-7 opinions or so of what it means to be a Rasha Arum. We explained the other cases here about a Chassid Shota, now we're going on to Chassid, a Rasha Arum. This case says, Rabbi Zrika, in the name of Rav Huna, is he who is makel for himself, machmer lacher. Oh, you know, I'm makel in all these cases for me, but you should really be machmer. That's the opposite.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Correct. We should really be the opposite. You know, we should be more machmer unto ourselves than we are unto others. Ula, Amar, and Ula's line, last line about a Rasha Arum, is going to be then dissected by the next Gemara that's coming up. So what does Ula say? Ze shekara v'shana, turning over, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, he who learns, what does Rashi say? Kara mikra, which is chumash, v'shana is mishnah, v'lo shimesh talmidei chachamim. Powerful line. A Rasha Arum is he who learns Chumash and Mishnayos, but he doesn't Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim. Rashi says, what is Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim? First line on top. L'lmot Tzvara HaGemara V'tamei HaMishnah. Means that Torah is not just about learning Pshat in a Pasuk and learning simple Halacha from a Mishnah. But if we don't get into the meat and the bones, what we're doing here, we're going into Gemara or other more depth learning to understand its depth, beauty, its relevance in our lives, then that is going to divert us from a proper path. Or it's brought down from the Farshim that what Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim, more mistaber perhaps, is having a Rebbe. Torah is not just about reading a book, or especially reading Torah Shebiksav, without Mefarshim, without having a Rebbe to guide us, without having a Rebbe to show us what life is all about, the decisions that we make and where we should be going, how we should be actualizing the Torah that we learn. So let's discuss this line a lot. Here we go. Second line, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Itmar. Okay. Itmar. Kar v'shanah lo shimesh talmidei chachamim. Rabbi Elazar Omer hareza amaretz. He who learns Chumash and Mikra, and because we gave two interpretations of what it means, shimesh talmidei chachamim, for the purpose of this, I'll probably just use the Hebrew words, shimesh talmidei chachamim. And either it's learning Torah Shabbal Peh, right? It's Gemara, other types of more deep Svarim, or it's actual Shimei Talmidei Chachamim. So, Rilazar Omer, this guy who only learns Chumash and Mikra, but doesn't Shimei Talmidei Chachamim, he's an Am Ha'aretz. What does it mean, an Am Ha'aretz? Rashi, if you learn from where we are, Hareza Am Ha'aretz, Shechoshet Ala Maestros Valataros. Practically, this guy just can't be relied upon for certain halachic implications. He just doesn't know what they are. Great, he learned Mishnah. So, you know, but he doesn't really know what the halachos are, so we can't rely on him for kashrus or maybe in other areas too. Other version bring down that, what does it mean, Am Ha'aretz? Ha'aretz, Am Ha'aretz, somebody who's really involved with more materialism, with more involved with the ground, more involved with the aretz, am haaretz. But we don't get into the depth of what spirituality is or the real pursuit of spirituality by really diving into the world of Torah Shebaal Peh or really connecting to rabbis on that level. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Harei Zabur. Not just is this guy practically an am haaretz, maybe for halachic purposes, but he's also a boor, somebody who's not going to do that third step. His midos will be affected by it. Rabbi Yanai Omer, Harei Zakusi. Not just will his midos be affected by it, or I'm jumping the gun here, because either this is a three-way machlokas, or it's a levels that we go down, but we'll see shortly. All right? Harei Zakusi. This guy is a kusi, which means, what are the kusis? It was a nation brought up by a Sancheriv to Eretz Yisrael. Sorry?
Samaritans.
The Samaritans, thank you. And there were lions attacking Eretz Yisrael. They were very afraid, so they converted to Judaism. They were called the Gerei Ha'arayosein, right? They converted to Judaism because they were afraid of being attacked by the lions, and they wanted to kind of connect that way. They were never really sincere about their conversion. They accepted Torah Shebaal Peh. They never really accepted Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore, we can't trust them in terms of wine, bread, other types of things that would be involved for non-Jews. We don't trust them also. So we see that this guy here, that is not Shimesh Talmid Chachamim, perhaps he's like a kusi in the halachic implications, which is a very powerful line of what that means. Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov Omer, Hareza Magush. This guy's like a sorcerer. Why? Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mestaber Kravacha Bar Yaakov. And it's Mestaber. It seems logical, like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. De Amar Inchi, for his people say, Ratin Megusha. A sorcerer, right? He says his chants, or she says her chants. Lo Yada Mai Amar. Nobody knows what they're really saying, right? They don't really understand it. They just know that it has a powerful effect. So they're just kind of rattling off these words. Tani Tana. So this guy here is saying he's just reciting these Mishnayas. Lo Yada Mai Amar. And he also does not understand what he's really saying. Again, we're speaking very negatively here about these people. We have to understand two approaches that are taken by the Mefarshim. Number one, the Karen Ora says that these four or five opinions, there's no machlokas in them, as I began to mention before. First person is just, he's an Amaretz. You know, if a person doesn't really know any depth in Torah, he's just simply an Amaretz. It's not necessarily so negative in terms of the type of person that he is. He just doesn't know more Torah. Perhaps he never had that, he's just an Amaretz. So the Karen Ora says that there's no machlokas. It starts by being an Amaretz, and it's a slippery slope that with time he'll then become a boor, with time he'll become a kusi, and then a magush. So that's what the Karen Ora says, is that it's one opinion, it just slowly moves its way down the pendulum. The Tiferes Tzion says that it really depends on the circumstances. So it is a machlokas, kind of, but it just depends on the person. That some people are more of an Amaretz, is that they never really had the chance to learn Torah. They never had the chance to learn Gemara. It just never came up for them. And therefore, that's the status that they are. But depending, as you go down the sliding scale, the more people have the opportunity, the more people don't, the more people are not pursuing that in ways that they're able. So that's where the scale continues to decrease in terms of the way we perceive these kinds of people. So it's nice to be learning this in a Gemara shir where we're learning Torah Shabbat Sav, and at least according to Rashi, we're being Shemesh and Echamim right here. Continues the Gemara here. Toner Abonin. Ezo Amaretz. What is an Amaretz? Great, we just mentioned Amaretz. What is the status? How do we define an Amaretz? Kol she'eno, answers the Gemara, Kol she'eno kore kriyash ma'shachar sfarvis. Bivir choseo. Anybody who doesn't say Shema in the morning and the evening with its brachos. Right? We must learn Torah day and night. That's the minimum. And the minimum that's brought down is Shema. By saying Shema morning and night, that is considered as if it's the most minimal level of learning Torah. Divrei Rabbi Meir, so says Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Orim Kol She'ino Maniach Tefillin. Who's an Amaretz? Whoever doesn't wear tefillin. I'm not sure if this is once or every day, but whoever doesn't wear tefillin. Ben Azai Omer Kol She'ein Lo Tzitzis Bebigdo. Whoever doesn't have tzitzis on his garment. Interesting, right? Tzitzis on his garment. What is tzitzis? Tzitzis an obligation?
Yeah.
If what?
Only if
you have a four-cornered garment. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. Right. It's a mitzvah that we fulfill if we have something. Interesting here that we say whoever doesn't wear tzitzis, because we know that we try to wear four-cornered garments so that we could wear tzitzis. I'm just going to point out one little paragraph here. To dwell in the palace. The intro is by Rav Lev. It may have a complete Refuah Shlema. As Rav Lev brings down in a very powerful intro to dwell in the past, I highly recommend the intro. It's beautiful. Called Where is the Religious Aliyah from the West? He has one paragraph here describing the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which we know at its minimum level, right? Or the way Moshe Feinstein sees it is that it's a mitzvah kiyumis. We're not like the Ramban and other people that say that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, or at least it's a real mitzvah to be here, but if we're here, it's mitzvah kiyumis. So he mentions, there's also a great deal of discussion of halachic factors excusing today's Jew from this mitzvah. There are, after all, opinions that it is only a mitzvah kiyumis, a voluntary mitzvah. This was the opinion of the late Gaon Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and some others. Well, tzitzis is only a mitzvah kiyumis, as we just said in our Gemara. It might be worth contemplating the way that we regard one who neglects the mitzvah tzitzis. Our Gemara just called him a what? An Ama Aretz, or even one who does not wear an Arba Kanfos that conforms to the strictest shear with tzitzis of the most mehudarim. In the time of divine anger, one is held accountable for a mitzvah kiyumis as well. Okay, Rav Lev, see further here. But we see here that the way we describe somebody who doesn't fulfill a mitzvah kiyumis, and we should all try to do so as much as we can. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, Amar, Kolsh.
Very nationalistic.
Very nationalistic? This is a very, very powerful piece by Rav Lev about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
When you make Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we're wearing four corners of the earth.
Psh. Did you hear that? Did you just make that up, or did you? It sounds very nice. I like it. Me'arva Kanfos Ara, it's beautiful.
It's like bringing the tzitzis to Eretz Yisrael.
Psh, and then the tzitzis represent 613 because the strings, so we're bringing the Arva Kanfos and we're bringing all together.
Without being in Eretz Yisrael.
Baruch Hashem.
You can't do the 613.
Oh, it's just like practice, right? Tov, Kol Sheyesh Lo Banim. Whoever has children, Ve'enu Megadlon L'lam. Sorry, Rav Yonasan ben Yosef Amar, Kol Sheyesh Lo Banim, Ve'enu Megadlon L'lam Torah. Another opinion as to what is an Amar, it's he who has children and doesn't raise them to be. Who doesn't send them to Jewish schools. The Marsha brings down a very interesting point. What's the common denominator between all these things that we just said? Tefillin, tzitzis, teaching our children Torah?
Just slapping off something.
And more. Where are they all found? Where are they all found? Yes! Excellent! They're all found in the Shema. What was the first opinion? Shema! These are all applications that are found in Shema. To where it's filling, to where it sits us, to teach v'chinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam. All these mitzvahs are in Shema, says the Marsha. That this is that even if we do say Shema, but we don't actualize what it is that Shema represents. Oh, amazing, amazing Marsha. Acher momra afilu kori v'shona lo shimish l'nechamim. It's Amar, it's he who, right? Mikra, Mishnah, but doesn't shimish l'nechamim. This is an Amar, it's kor v'loshona. What happens if he learns that and he doesn't? He learns chumash, but not mishnayis. Hariz a bur. What happens? Lo karv lo shana. But if he doesn't learn chumash or mishnayis either, halava kosav omer. The Torah does not have great things to say about him. The pasuk in Yirmiya, Mizrati space Yisrael, space Yudah, zer adam, zera behema. As the Mefarshim bring down here, the pasuk compares chachamim to a man, and so to say, an am ar, it's like an ignoramus to an animal. And the Marsha explains because an animal has no chachma. So Torah, as we learned, was chachma in previous dapim, and therefore, if Torah is like Chachma, then we get Chachma, true Chachma, by being able to delve into the depth and the wisdom and the beauty of Torah. Continues Gemara by the two dots. This is a pasuk from Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech had a son, Rechavam, who was succeeding him in taking over. This is the advice that Shlomo HaMelech was passing along to Rechavam. Yireis Hashem b'ni, v'melech. Fear Hashem, my child, the king. Ve'im shonim al tisarev. And with shonim, don't mix. What are shonim? Mishanim means those who are kind of deviate. Mishanim. So shonim, the Gemara picks up on the word shonim, which seems to be a little bit of a misplaced word, and we're going to interpret it as what? Those who just learned Mikra or Mishnah. Oh. Which is why it's brought down here. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Elish Shonim Halachos. These are those who just kind of learn Halachos. Only Halachos, but again, are not Mishamash Shem Yechamim. Says Gemara Pshita. Don't we know this? We're going to get to that shortly.
Rashi says it talks about halachos means mishnayos.
Thank you. Right. Because halachos then, there was no Shulchan Aruch. The halacha was mishnayos. Thank you. Pshita. Ma'od is saying mashonin b'chet. Well, you might as well say no, that what is shown him, it's just repetitive violations of the Torah, of Halacha, v'chad Rav Huna, and it's like Rav Huna, dam Rav Huna, kevin she'avar adam aver v'shana ba, a very famous line of Rav Huna, when somebody transgresses on an aveira and then does it again, hutralo, then it becomes as if it's permitted to him. As we know, the more and more we do something wrong, the more and more okay it becomes for us to do so. Whether it's talking in shul, whether it's not wearing tzitzis, whether it's waking up late, whether it's saying Lashon Hara, whether it's not learning Torah, whatever it might be, the more and more we do something, the less and less it has an effect on us. Which is, I think, why I've heard brought down a while ago that Lashon Hara is so bad, because it becomes so mutter to us that we say it so much that it can really be tremendously destructive. But it works that way with all kinds of averus. So kamash malan. Baruch Hashem. Amida Tova's, right? That's Kamash Malan, therefore no. Therefore no, we are not referring to those people, but when Shlomo Melech was giving this advice to Rechavam, he was telling him, just don't be with those people that only learn Mishnah. Tana. Hatanaim, similar, those only learn Mishnah. It's Mevali Olam. Mavli Olam are those who are of the destroyers of the world. Mavli Olam, are they really of the destroyers of the world? Amravina Shemoran Halacha Mitoch Mishnah. No. Those who start to paskin Halacha from the Mishnais. Again, they're only learning Mishnais. They're not Shemish and Minach Chachamim. They don't really know Torah Shebaal Peh too well. And they're not also, or perhaps, serving Tamei Chachamim to really understand the applications of Halacha. And they're just being, and they're just paskin from their learning of Mishnais. Tanya Namihachi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Vichy Mavli Olam Hain, are they really Mavli Olam? Valo Miyashve Olam Hain, aren't they Miyashve Olam? Aren't those who learn Mishnais, it's a great thing to do? They're settling the world? Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo? Don't we have that pasuk from Chabakuk, which we say every morning, which means Halichos Olam Lo, Altikre Halichos, Ela Halachos? Right? It's good to learn Halacha, it's good to learn Mishnais. Elos, what are they doing? Ela Shemorin Halachos Mitoch Mishnasan. Those who are extracting halachic applications from their Mishnais, that is not a good thing to do. The Chafetz Chaim says, right, don't we say, again, just to quote the whole piece, Kol HaShona Halachos B'chol Yom, whoever learns halachos every day, Muvtach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. He's confirmed that he's a Ben Olam Haba. Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo, this pasuk, Altikrei Halichos Ela Halachos. So again, isn't halacha great? Shouldn't we be learning halacha? What's so special about halacha? And then another thing on top of it is, what is a ben olam haba? In contrast with, kol yisrael yeshlem chelak olam haba. Pirkei Avos. What's the difference between a chelak and olam haba and a ben olam haba? Ask the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim answers that first of all, halacha, which we have to learn halacha every day, gives us the understanding of what to do. We can have theories all day and all night, but if we don't know what to do, then it's almost meaningless. We won't know how to actually act during our day. So it's very, very important to learn halacha. What is a ben olam haba in contrast with a chelak in olam haba? So I'll describe it. For instance, somebody can be a guest at somebody's house for a Shabbos. Like you're sleeping there, you're in like their room, so you're there, you have a place for Shabbos, but you're not really like that. You don't really know where to go, what to do, like where the food is, where the coffee is. You know, I stayed at somebody's house a little while ago for Shabbos, and I woke up early Shabbos morning to make a coffee. I spent about half an hour. I couldn't find where the coffee was. I just couldn't find the coffee. I just couldn't find the right coffee. And I was like, well, you know, so I was there and it was comfortable, but it wasn't my place. Ben Olam Haba, we all have a place in the world to come. We all have an Ashamas rule. We all have a portion there. We can all be like guests. But the more and more we earn it, the more we become like a Ben Olam Haba. It's not just maybe a larger house, a larger mansion in the world to come. But we feel more comfortable. We feel more confident being there. We feel more like we've deserved it, like it's our place to be. That is a Ben Olam Haba, the type of feeling that we all strive and the world working to get.
Take it like from a literal sense, it could mean that we have a place there. It doesn't mean we'll get it. Once we become a ben olam haba, we actually take part in that, in the olam haba.
That's a good point. But if we all have a place there, then shouldn't we all get some sort of place there?
We have a place there. It's like, you know, when they speak about it, they actually refer to the olam haba as Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, they actually talk about having four places in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, during the raising, of the dead and everything like that, if you're not here during that time, you don't get that chelik for like 40 years. Like the,
very good point.
Like it's the people that are in Eretz Yisrael are the ones that actually get their chelik first.
Thank you, David. Ben That's Olam Haba. Like, Ben Olam Haba. Baruch Hashem. We're here in Eretz Yisrael. We're learning Torah. We're trying to do all that we can do to reach that status. Isha Prusha V'chulu, one of the women that is of the Mavli Olam, of the destroyers of the world, is this ascetic woman. What does that mean? Tanur Banan, Besula Tzalyonis. A Besula, a virgin who is, as Rashi explains, she's a balas tefila. It seems to be some sort of like overcompensating on the balas tefila. V'almana shovavis, and an almana, a widow, who's a shovavis. The next Rashi, filling down from where we are. Balas shchenos. She just kind of goes around. She's always going around to her neighbors and talking, maybe a little bit too outgoing. Right. V'katan shelo kololo chadashav, and a katan who doesn't fill up his months. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Harei elu mavlei olam. These people are mavlei olam. The Gemara, Aini, what? This, aren't these people good? Like we have examples that are coming up. These people are good. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lamanu yirascheit mebesula." We learn yirascheit from this besula. The kibul schar me'almana, and what it means to be schar from this almana. Why? What are the cases? Yirascheit mebesula. We know yirascheit from the besula. The Rabbi Yochanan shamalehi besula. Rabbi Yochanan heard this. A besula, a virgin, dinafla apa, who fell on her face in prayer, v'ka'amra, and what did she say to Hashem? Ribono shalolam, barasa gan eden u barasa gehenem. Hashem, you created gan eden, you created gehenem. Barasa tzadikim u barasa rishayim, you created great people and not great people. Yihi ratzon milfanecha, may it be your will, Hashem. Shelo yikashlu b'nei adam. That people shouldn't stumble because of me. The Marsha says, she knew she wouldn't mess up. She was on a very high level, this Basula. So she wanted to ask that other people wouldn't mess up because of her, have the improper thoughts because of her, stray after her. She was trying to be tznius, and she wanted to make sure that nobody else would mess up because of her. The Ben Yoyada says that's why we learn Yerashchet from her, because Yerashchet is not just hate from ourselves. I'm afraid to sin. I'm afraid for anybody to sin. And she therefore wanted to have a prayer. She prayed that nobody should sin. Not just she shouldn't sin. An unbelievable level, says the Ben Yoyada. Kibul schar me'almana, and we also learned schar from the almana. What was the case? Tahi almana dava be'knishta bishvivusa. There was an almana who had a shul in her neighborhood. Kol yoma hava asu masu be'medrasha to Rabbi Yochanan. And again, a story about Rabbi Yochanan. Instead, she used to go pray in the base medrash of Rabbi Yochanan, which was farther away. Amar la, he says to this almana, Biti, lo be'sa knesset shbit. Isn't there a shul in your neighborhood? Why are you coming all the way here? Amrali, she says, Rebbe, those schar psius yeshli? I have the schar halicha. I get schar for walking. It's farther to get here. But wait, isn't that a contradiction to what we just said about this almana who walks around her neighborhood and this basula who davens? Says the Gemara, kikamar kikon yochni bas retivi. No. What is the Gemara above referring to? That the Mavlei Olam, the destroyers of the world, are like this Basula who davens all the time, and this Almana that's walking around, that's like a case like Yochni Bas Retivi. Rashi brings down the whole story. She was some sort of sorcerer. I feel free to go through it. She was some sort of sorcerer. When a woman would be giving birth, she would recite her incantations, and therefore she'd prevent this woman from giving birth. She would like keep those incantations in some sort of jar in her house. She would go to then the woman at her bedside and say, I'll daven for you. I'll make it all better. She starts davening for this woman. All of a sudden, this woman's able to have a baby. This woman's like, whoa, Yochni Basti, oh, you're amazing. Thing. And she all of a sudden becomes like the righteous woman of the neighborhood. One day, right? She's got some sort of worker in her home, some sort of schir yom, some sort of person who's there for the day, and this guy's watching, and he sees that she's the one who's reciting these incantations, then doing this. He like opens up this little jar, and all of a sudden, this woman has a baby. And they all know that she's just a fake, right? So that kind of person who's the fake, insincere balas tefila, or this person who's the fake, kind of going around the neighborhood and chattering and getting people around, that is not a good thing. We should not be doing that. But these other women are great. These other women that are davening for the right reasons, or the almana that is going to shul, the schar halicha, beautiful things to do. My katan shel kolo chadashav, as we said before, a katan who doesn't live out his months, that is also of the mavli olam. Hachi targimu, zet talmini chachamim, zet talmini chacham hamebayit berabosav. That's like a talmini chacham who is mebayit berabosav, literally bites his rabbis. But then what it means? He, so I heard from Rabbi It's the G's. All the G's. Every day the G's. One of the great rabbis, whose last name starts with a G, his, a child receives nourishment from his mother, right? In utero. Now, what happens if a child, is born too early, prematurely, then he'll be cut off from his nourishment, his real natural nourishment. So too, a child, a katan, shel kolo chadashav, is like, as we said, it's a tamar chacham, hamebayid barabosav, because he doesn't really serve his rebbes anymore. He kind of prematurely cuts himself off from his spiritual sustenance, and he no longer takes what he should, and therefore he starts to go out on his own and paskin shilas. But he should still have the deference to his rebbes, which he does not have, and that's why he's like a katan, shelo kolo chadashav. Rabbi Abba Amar Zetamud Shol Higia LaHora Umora. Similarly, it's like a Talmud who hasn't yet reached the ability to paskin, but he starts paskining. Amar Rabbi Avo Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. My Diksiv Ki Rabim Chalalam Hi Pila. A pasuk from Mishlei that many victims she has fallen about Tzum Kol Harugel and the mighty she has slain. Ki Rabim Chalalam Hi Pila. What does that part of the pasuk mean? Zetamud Chacham Shlo Higia LaHora Umora. As we said before, it's like a Talmud Chacham that should be paskining and does. That's like a Talmud Chacham who has reached the level that he should be paskening, and he doesn't paskin. So again, we all have to know who we are. Whether we should be paskening or not, we should know where we are. We shouldn't jump the gun. We also shouldn't hide ourselves. If that's who we are, that's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing, and we can't hide from that sense of responsibility. Va'ad kama, when, until when, turning over, chaf beis, amid beis, va'ad kama, when should, until when should a person start to paskin? Generally, adar ben shnin, until a person is 40 years old, and generally when a person should begin to paskin. Aini, really? Year 40, that's when it starts? Va'rabba ori, and Rabba start to do so before, and Rashi explains that Rabba only lived for 40 years. But Rabba was paskining for a long, long time. He died at 40. So therefore, it has to be that he was paskining before he was 40. Says the Gemara, b'shavin. B'shavin. Rashi explains, what does b'shavin mean? Third line from the top. Im shavin legodol ha'ir b'chachma. You're right, but if he's equal to chachma, like the chief rabbi of the city, then mutar lahoros, then he is able to paskin, because there's nobody higher than that. O she'ein zokar mimeno b'ir. Or if there's nobody greater than him. Which means that a person should, if it's going to be helpful, and he's not, so to say, bypassing somebody who's greater than him. So it's not that 40 is the cutoff in absolute terms, but 40 is generally the type of cutoff, but if a person is the rabbi and he's the greatest, people look up to him, then you're right, there's flexibility to be passing beforehand too. Umakos, Prushin, Mechulu, those people that wound themselves, the ascetic people that wound themselves, they're also a part of the Mavli Olam, the people that are destroying the world. What does that mean? Sorry, just drink a coffee. Ton Rabbanan, Shiva Prushin Hain. There's seven types of Prushin. Those people who act holy. We're going to say all these names and then we're going to discuss each of them. Prosh Shichmi, Prosh Nikfi, Prosh Kizoi, Prosh Meduchya, Prosh Machovasi Vesena, Prosh Meava, and Prosh Meira. Let's discuss each. Prosh Shichmi, Ze Osa Maisa Shchem. Right? Shichmi, Shchem. What was the Maisa Shchem? As Rashi explains, Shchem, after they abducted Dina, he wanted to be with Dina. Again, that's coming up next week's parsha, right? Right? Unbelievable. So he wanted to be with Dina. And so again, so what did he do? He was Malu, Shalashem Shemaim. He had a circumcision, not for Lashem Shemaim. So those who kind of do these things, not for Lashem Shemaim, but really for negative purposes, that's what this person is, who is a Mavli Ol, destroyers of the world. Prosh Nakfi, Zahamanakif es Raglov, somebody who shuffles their feet, somebody who literally like walks, you know, like, somebody who overdoes, overcompensates for trying to make it look like he's humble, that is not a good thing to do, to like overcompensate. You're right, we should walk with a certain sense of humility, but to overdo it, to try to show something that we're not, is not a good thing. Prosh Kizoi, Amar Nachman Yitzchak, Zahamat is Dam Lekselem. Somebody who's knocking into walls and starts bleeding, again, he's trying to show that he's so perhaps engrossed in his Torah and not looking at the women next to him, that he's like knocking into walls, but again, if he's not on that level, then it's really a negative thing, and he's one of the Mavlei Olam. Unbelievable. Prosh Meduchya, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Dimashbea Ki Meduchya. Somebody who's walking too bent over, similar to the two that were just mentioned before this. It's somebody who is too bent over. It's good to be bent over. It's good to walk, right? Even in the Ramban, even in the Geras Ramban, he says, right? That we should walk with a little bent over, not too tall posture and looking arrogant. But if somebody's too bent over, again, that's not a good thing. We should be normal. We should be balanced and healthy. Pro shmachovasi vesena. Tell me, what should I do? Tell me, what should I do? Hamalisi, isn't that great? Somebody wants to grow and steig in Torah? Eldamar, no. Machovasi su vesena. Right, we add in the word su. What else should I do? Which implies, I'm doing everything. Me, I got it all. I got it down. I'm good. 613, done. All Rabbanan's done. Everything, done. What else should I be doing? Which implies that he's arrogant and he's doing it all. Prosh me'ava, prosh me'ira. And somebody who doesn't sin out of love, meaning out of love of reward, not avas Hashem, but out of love of reward, and prosh me'ira, out of fear of sin. Says the Gemara, whoa. Amrle Abaye v'Rava l'Tana. Abaye and Rava, they both agree here. And they say to the Tana, lo tisni prosh me'ava, prosh me'ira. Don't say prosh me'ava and prosh me'ira. Why? Dem revuta amarav, la'olam yasok adam etorah mitzvah safilu shalol lishma. That a person should be yasok in Torah, even shalol lishma. Not for its sake. Shemitok shalol lishma, balishma. Famous line. Because when we are osik in Torah, right, prosh me'ava and prosh me'ira, even for love of reward or for fear of being punished, that is a good thing, because shemitok shalol lishma balishma. And Rabbi Chaim Balazin in the Nefesh HaChaim, which is a beautiful, beautiful sefer, highly recommended, he says, are we guaranteed lishma? If we really learn shalol lishma, are we guaranteed lishma? And he says, yes, at some point we will be given the opportunity, and it will come at some point, that we will be learning lishma. I had the privilege to go through the Nefesh HaChaim once, or part of it, with a Rosh Kola from Bnei Brak. It was unbelievable. I highly recommend it. You know, the beauty and the emphasis that he places on Torah and what Torah accomplishes, every word of Torah and everything that it does and reverberates around the world. And he even says that there's time zones in the world because that if there weren't time zones in the world, then there might be Torah being studied or no Torah being studied at any one point in the world, and the world would cease to exist. Therefore, Hashem created time zones that there could be Torah studied every second of every single day, because the Torah is really the pillar of the world. Then the Tziv says, Bo Lashma means maybe even if it's not him, but his kids, his grandkids, meaning that the Lashma element will come at some point. I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, a comment about these insincere people, Dimitamra Mitamra, these hidden thoughts will be hidden from other people, Ud Megalia Megalia, and that which is revealed is revealed. Beidina Rabba Lisra Mehani Dechafu Gunde. And the Beis Din, the Beis Din of Rabba, right, which means the great heavenly court, Beit Dina Rabba, the great heavenly court, will exact retribution, so to say, from those who wrap themselves up insincerely in their talis, those who are fakers. Hashem will take care of them. Amar la Yanai Malka, Lidabese, Yanai Malka, who is a king, and a Kohen Gadol, right? Second base, the Mikdash times, the Hashmonaim times, he was a descendant of the Hashmonaim. He became a Tzaduki, he was not a great person. He said to his wife, he was worried that the Jews are going to take revenge. So he said to his wife before he passed away, "Al tisyari min haprushin. Don't worry about the real tzaddikim. Right? They're not going to take revenge. We don't have anything to worry about them. V'lo mimisha einan prushin. Don't worry about the tzaddikim. They're my allies. Ela min hatzvonin. But worry about those pretenders, those colorful people. Those are the pretenders. Those are the people to worry about. Shadoma la prushin. They're compared to prushin. They look like they're prushin. They look like they're tzaddikim shemasein kemaisa zimri. But they're actions are like Maisa Zimri, who lived with the woman from Moab, right? Not a good thing. Umevachshin schar kepinchas, and they want schar like Pinchas. So be careful, those people, they might try to get us. Those pretenders are the worst people. They can cause the most damage. Hypocrites. And that's perhaps why, as we explained, as I discussed with my family over Shal Shudas, Rivka's line of Imkein Lamaza Anochi in this last week's parsha, when she had Yaakov and Esau both fighting inside of her, and when she passed by Beis Medrash, or when she passed by Beis Avodah Zarah, they were both kind of kicking, they were both trying to get out. Then came Lamaza Anochi, was who am I? Meaning that the child inside of me seems like a hypocrite. He's passionate about Torah, he's passionate about idol worship, that's not good. And only once she heard that there's two separate people inside of there, that was okay, because then it was no longer a hypocritical child but it was two separate people. We all have passions, we all have inclinations, we all have a Yetzer Hara. We all are involved with the world, but as long as we can channel our lives into serving Hashem, the work, the eating, the family, everything it is that we do into Torah element of serving Hashem, then that's one lifestyle. May we all this chosen continue to be of those people that are not the Mavli Olam, but are the builders of the world with our Torah. And I wish us all a beautiful day ahead.